We are making our way through a study of the Ten Commandments, and I have exhaustively mentioned the idea that we are not technically under the Ten Commandments any longer. That was a part of the law of Moses. However, there are certain things within these commandments that we find enumerated, which are, again, still binding for us in some way. We shouldn't, you know, kill each other and so on, but there are some other things from which these commandments, and we can learn a great deal. And so this morning we're going to be looking at the very first one to not deal directly with our relationship with God. We've had four so far, and they deal with how we treat and think about God. That's a very significant thing to consider, the idea of having God as our God and no other gods before Him, not making graven images to bow down and worship, not taking the Lord's name in vain or using it in an empty way, and then to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because the Lord rested on that Sabbath day, and we have a Sabbath day awaiting us when it comes to heaven, the idea of rest. And so this fifth one, deals with the idea of honoring our father and mother. And that's a very unusual one to put in a category of, if you had to say there are 10 rules for life, honoring your mom and dad seems to be an odd choice. What kind of difference can it make in a nation's life if every single family unit and the mother and father were properly respected? And so that's going to be our goal this morning, is to talk about why God cares so much about making sure that we honor and respect our parents. So over in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, this is the command. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The implication is if you do not honor your father and mother, your days won't be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I distinctly remember the first time my mother mentioned the idea that if I didn't respect her, she brought me into the world and she can take me out. But I don't think that was the idea of what the Lord meant here, that your days will be long or your parents will kill you. But you haven't met my mother very much. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 5 says the same thing here, but a little bit longer. It says, Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And so there are two basic thoughts here as to what it means that your days will be long and that it may go well with you. The first seems pretty obvious, and it's kind of the scapegoat answer. It's the answer that if you, as a Jew living under this law, go into the land of Canaan and you keep the commandments, including respecting and honoring your father and mother, the Lord is going to, in a supernatural way, meaning just not through implication, bless you especially as you're in this land. I don't know what that means besides the fact that God is going to directly interfere with the people of Israel while they're in the land and bless them. The other thought is a bit more easy to comprehend. The Lord is trying to say, if you want to be blessed, a natural way for you to be blessed is to honor your father and mother. What I mean is, in one camp, you have the idea that God will especially fulfill this command to directly bless you. The other thought is, if you obey your parents, if you honor your parents, you will intrinsically be blessed in so doing. Those two are not really competing ideas. They're just two different thoughts. What the Lord meant here. Does He mean that it will naturally go well for you in the land if you obey your parents in all cases? Or is He talking about just for the Israelites in this one special occasion, if they made sure to honor their parents, the Lord would directly bless them as a result of their obedience? That's besides the point. The point is that God is concerned about these people understanding their need to honor and respect their mother and their father. Let's look over in a few other passages here to see how important this theme is in Scripture. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, instead of chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 40, It says, therefore, you shall keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for all time. And so the idea of if you respect your parents, your children will respect you as parents, the next generation is implied here in the text. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, Leviticus 19:3, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So again, that same thought of keeping the Sabbath holy and obeying your parents, revering them, respecting them, honoring them is mentioned there in that text as well. One particular famous passage about this is in Matthew chapter 15. This is, of course, a couple hundred years later. Christ is in the first century, and he is correcting a mentality of what it means to honor your parents. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, for God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, you need not honor his father. And so, for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you. He said, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So the idea here is Christ is rebuking the Jews of the first century, saying the simple commandment was to honor your father and mother. And now you are using an opportunity, a loophole, to give the money that you would use to support your own parents. You're giving it to the temple as a gift for them to hang on to until your parents die, and then you get it back with interest. And so, of course, Christ is correcting the mentality. You're not looking at the commandment for what it is. And so that is a very interesting way to look at this commandment. You wouldn't think there'd be much confusion about this, but apparently it's possible to get this idea wrong. That same exact thought is mentioned in Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, Mark chapter 7 and verse 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 19, and Luke chapter 18 and verse 20. So you have five significant passages in the New Testament gospel accounts alone that all deal with the idea of how people were perverting the idea of honoring their father and their mother. And so, we may look at that command and say, well, of course we know what it means, but apparently we don't. And then finally here, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, this is one of the only occasions in which Paul uses a particular command of the Ten Commandments and reinforces it as being absolutely valid for the Christian as well. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. The promise was that it may go well with you in the land, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And so Paul is saying, look, children, here is your Christian responsibility. Make sure you follow the commandment of honoring your father and mother, which he uses here as the idea of as obey, not just the idea of honor or respect or revere. So interesting that we find this commandment popping up in so many places in different contexts, different people, different eras. We find the same command of honoring your father and mother as being valid, significant, and important from the perspective of God. Now, I don't think I have not done a wedding since I've moved here to Charleston. I'm not necessarily thankful for that, but there are few things that I do not enjoy more than doing weddings. Weddings take up at least 3 days of your life. There's always going to be a mother or mother-in-law you have to finagle to try and figure out what's really wanted by the bride and so on. I don't mind weddings, but they're not my favorite thing to do in the world. So you've never heard me do a wedding ceremony here. But one of the things that I mention almost every single time is that there are three institutions that are ordained by God. You have the government, believe it or not, no matter what government that is, including Rome, you have a government endorsed by God and put there on purpose for a reason to do His good will. You have the church. It's a very important institution. We should probably know that since we're in it right now. And then we have the family or the home. That's the third foundational institution upon which we learn about God. So let's go through those particular realms, those institutions, and see what we can learn when it comes to obedience, respect, and honoring, and so on, those institutions. Let's begin with the government because, why not? Romans chapter 13. I'm sure you've never heard this passage used in any other way. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 1, has this to say. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. What that basically means is even the oppressive empire of Rome was serving at the good pleasure and will of the Lord God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Why would you have to fear the one who's in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. Which, by the way, is a great verse to pull out. If you happen to get pulled over speeding, you remind that officer, don't you know that you are in a God-ordained position to serve for the good? Is this really the best good you could be doing right now? Don't use that line. You will get a ticket. Anyway, but if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And therefore, one must be in subjection not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, or do we? For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. We have some government workers here this morning, maybe even some who work for a tax office, and so that verse is there for you. What this basically means is Paul is encouraging Christians to be good citizens. When people think about a group of people that follow Jesus Christ, they should be people who respect their government and are good citizens. Those are ideal qualities to help win people over to the gospel and to show that God is a God of order, not one of chaos. And so this institution of the government is an institution of authority which God gave to them to rule over his people in different nations, to punish people that commit crimes, and to reward those who do good things. That's the basic idea. Now, how governments do at that is up for debate, but that's the overall principle of respecting government, respecting authority is a good, godly principle. Now, moving on to the church, this one's a bit easier for us. There are people who are in leadership positions of authority within the church to whom we ought to be subjected. One passage for this to move quite quickly is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. Peter has this to say, "So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And likewise, you who are younger, those who are not elders, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And so there's an encouragement for elders to rule well with the authority with which God gave them, and also for the people who are not elders to be under their control, their oversight, their leadership. Respect church leadership. That's the overall concept I'm trying to get across here. And so we have the institution of government. They have authority from God. It is to be respected. We have the church. They have authority. The elders and deacons have authority over the flock, and they are to be respected and seen as an authoritative force. And then finally, the home. There's also authority within the home, the family unit as well. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, for example, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, that when they see your respectful and pure conduct." And so if you are a Christian woman, your husband is not a Christian, you be a good example to him to hopefully win him over to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and it is himself, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And so what do we see here? The government is an institution of authority established by God. The church is an institution with authority established by God. Even the home, the family unit, is a place of an institution established by God which has authority within it. Especially with the idea of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The children are subject to the authority of the parents in this dynamic, in this relationship. Now, why have I said all of that? Why did I give you a very simple, very basic wedding sermon? Because if we are a group of people who do not respect the government, if we are a group of people who do not respect our shepherds, our elders, our overseers, our bishops, if we are a group of people who do not even respect our parental figures, how in the world are we going to understand respect for Jehovah God? If I can't respect my parents who love me, how in the world am I supposed to understand that I should respect my Father in heaven who loves me? I can't. I cannot. That's the whole point, I am convinced, of why God cares so much about children having a healthy reverence, respect, and level of obedience to their own parents, because that is a microcosm of the authority which God has over every single one of us. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Peter had a lot to say when it came to the idea of respecting authority. This is a man that walked with Jesus. He walked with him as a man, but he also walked with him as the Son of God. This morning in Bible class, we were in the Garden of Gethsemane, in which we saw the Son of God himself, Jesus, the Messiah, go to the garden and pray to the Father. "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours." If the Son is subject to the authority and the rule of the Father, how much more should all of us as Christians be subject to the rule and the authority of God? But we can't do that if we don't know how to respect authority. Parents are given to us for our own good, to show us what love is, to show us what rules are, to show us what commandments for our own good do for us. They instruct us, they teach us, they mold us into the kind of people that will make this world a better place. Parents are a blessing from God, but it's just a small picture of how much the Father in heaven loves every single one of us. That's what parents are for. And so this morning, as we look into a very simplistic rule, a commandment for the Jews to mold themselves into the kind of people that have the integrity and the character to make a strong nation, a fundamental part of having that is a proper, healthy respect for authority, even the parents that God gave to us. And so this morning, as we're looking into those commandments to find something from which we can learn, to grow and develop into stronger, more integrated people into our society that have a better core foundation of what morality is, the most important thing is that we know that we have the opportunity for redemption from sin, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If anyone here this morning needs to take advantage of the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins, or if you are a Christian who has fallen short and you want to make correction this morning, please respond by coming forward as we stand and we sing.